And when the Pharisees saw it, that is, Jesus eating with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, now they didn't say that to him. They didn't have the boldness to go to Jesus' face. They always talked behind his back. They went to his disciples, and they says, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? This is the question that I want to try to look for an answer today. And as a disciple, I'm asking you that question. You are to know the answer to that question. And if you don't, you have to listen to what I got to say here for a little bit. Amen. You know, Jesus told them, first of all, you find out the main reason that Jesus ate with not just disciples, but with publicans and sinners, was that they had a need. Jesus had something that they needed. Amen. The Bible says Jesus answered them. Actually, he answered them, and he says, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's out of Mark and Matthew there put together. Those that don't need a physician, he didn't come for them. Jesus didn't come for the righteous. He came to save those which are lost. If you want to get out in the world today, I'll tell you one of the hardest things to find out there, besides gold, is that it's find the sinner. It's hard to find these days. Now, when I was growing up, they were everywhere. I mean, everybody says, yeah, I'm a sinner, but I would go to church with you. I know if I don't go, I'm going straight to hell. Amen. But I'll just have to give you a rain check and be with you some other time. They knew where they were going. Some of them even said, I'm going to bust hell wide open if I die. They knew they were sinners. They knew they were undone. They knew that they believed in Jesus. Otherwise, they wouldn't have believed in the judgment. You know, the folks that are atheists, they got the strongest faith of anybody. They believe there is no God. They believe there is no judgment. They believe there is no heaven. They believe there is no hell. Amen. This world is all they've got, and they're willing to stake their eternal future, amen, up on a few years on this world. Amen. But oh, some of them old good old boys that we grew up with there, Jesse. You know they knew they wasn't right. Danny, you know there was a bunch of them out there that would have told you in a heartbeat, yeah, I'm not right with God. But today, everybody thinks they're going to heaven. Mm-hmm. I ain't preached a funeral yet that they didn't say they were going to a better place. Oh, they got more faith. They know more about the Bible than I do, because I don't know enough about the Bible to judge another man where he's going, whether he's going to heaven or hell. I don't care if he's a pastor of this church. You can't judge him and say, well, I know Brother Stent's going to heaven. You don't know that. Yeah, I sat under his ministry 20, 30 years, and you don't know that. I'm the one that needs to know that. God knows that, amen. But glory to God, the Bible says, we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We better know where we're going when we leave here. But a lot of folks think they're going straight to heaven. Sinner is hard to find. Christ began to minister at Peter's home. Now, I've got to go back a little bit to lead you up to why he was preaching to the sinners and all that. First of all, as I said, they had a need, and that's what he says. They needed a physician. But let's go back a little bit further when he was He was eating with Peter. Jesus was living with Peter in Peter's home. Amen? How many of you know that Peter had a wife? You mean the first pope got married? Tell that to some Catholic friends sometimes. That the first pope had a wife. They don't believe a preacher ought to get married. I believe a preacher needs to have a woman because it ain't good for a man to be alone. Now, he began his ministry when he called Peter, amen, and Andrew, and James and John. They were out fishing, right? Them old boys been fishing all their life, but they could catch a thing that day. But Jesus went down and taught them how to fish. And I want you to know, after he got through with that lesson, he says, "Now, come follow me. I'm gonna teach you how to fish for men." So this is our lesson today. So that's why we have to go back to it. While he stayed at Peter's home, they would go into the synagogue and they would go out here to the beach and places like that, and they would go out. And the Bible says they healed. Amen. There was a demonic that was in the synagogue one day. And Jesus saw that man there and he went right to him and he cast out the devil out of him. Do you know what all the Pharisees said? "You've done something wrong. The nerve of you delivering a man from the devil when he's in the house of God on a Sabbath." It wasn't appropriate, J.R., for Jesus to deliver a man possessed with the devil on the Sabbath in God's house of prayer. Amen. I want you to know that's pathetic. If you can't go to God for help, where are you going to get any help? If you can't go to the great physician, where are you going to get your help? Amen. I want you to know, we got the same people around here. I've had people possessed with the devil, and we've been casting devils out here, and we've had them get up and run off, and I ain't seen them yet. They said, "You guys are crazy. What a nerve are you casting out devils? I'm going to go over here to this church. They don't do that over there." Well, go right ahead. Jesus didn't care what they thought. When Jesus sees a need, he comes to meet the need. Amen. When Jesus is in the house, there's healing.
Amen.
He began to heal a lot of folks while they were there. Now, the Bible says he healed the sick, he healed the lame, he healed a bunch of folks. And people started following Jesus back to Peter's house. And they couldn't all get in the house. Peter probably had a little house like me. I've had 12 people in there and it's like busting from the seams. All right, but the Bible says they started congregating at the door every day. And Jesus, he didn't run them off. Amen. Somebody coming for help. Jesus met the need. He went out and preached to them the word of God. He taught them parables. He healed the lame, the sick, the halt, the blind. Amen. The demon possessed. He went and healed them all. He met the need. Hallelujah. Didn't turn them away. How many people have went to churches and they turned away? I had a man that come to our church one time. We were down in Florida. It happened to be snowing that day too. Now, you know when it's a cold day in Florida, we call it a cold day in heaven because it's pretty hot down there all year round. But it was snowing this day and a guy walked in and he come into our church and he was asking for food. Do you know what my pastor told me to do? Send him away. I said, Brother, I can't do that. That's one reason I fell out of that church and left. I brought the man home with me. I fed him beans and taters for a month until he started complaining there wasn't enough meat in the house. I said, well, get a job. I'm giving you what I got, brother. I'm not having some secret meeting back here with dead weed and steaks. We eating the same thing you got. I'm sharing it with you. Come find out that fella's wanted for murder. They don't want to tell him. But I didn't turn him down. Amen. And Jesus won't turn you down either if you got a need. Now, after a while, I want you to know it got so many people were pressing at the door and nobody could get in or out or anything. And there were some that brought a man that had the palsy. He couldn't walk. He was lame. Four of his friends, I want you to know, they got up on Peter's house and tore the roof off of it to let that man get down to Jesus. How far will you go to get somebody to Jesus? Amen. They made sure Jesus, amen, saw the need there. And I want you to know, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. Rise up, pick up your bed and walk, didn't it, Danny? They've complained about that too because it might not have been on the Sabbath, but amen. He was saying he could forgive sins. The nerve of Jesus saying he can forgive sins. You see the traditions of the world out here? You can't find a sinner. You can't find a church that cares. Where do people go? Oh, I love the song. Where could I go? But to the Lord. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, I need a friend that'll save me in the end. Praise God. Amen. Where could I go but to the Lord? Now, one thing else happened. Peter's wife come down with a fever. Do you know what they did? They didn't tell her, honey, you're in the house here. Jesus will get to you when he gets to you. The Bible says immediately they came and told Jesus. And he came and he took her by the hand. And he lifted her up. Oh, I love the song, Love Lifted Me. Amen. When I was a sinner, Jesus lifted me. When I was in need, when I was down and out, Jesus lifted me. He lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. Just like if you come in here feeling bad, you start singing that song, I feel good. You start feeling a little bit better, I believe. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto him. Now, I want you to catch that word, she ministered to him. You know what she did? She got up and cooked something to eat. Out of appreciation. Amen. She might have been running a fever, but when Jesus got through with her, amen, she said, I got a new ministry. Amen. I can cook for Jesus. And she didn't just minister and cook for Jesus. She fed them all. Glory to God, I want you to know, one of the best ministries you can have, ladies, is to cook for the saints of God. Oh, and even wash the feet of the saints of God. Oh, it may be a humbling experience, but I want you to know it's a way to show your appreciation when Jesus lifted you out of the sin that you were in, out of the burden that you were under, when he broke the bondage that you were in, and he set you free. Amen. It's a good thing to let him lift you up and start serving God. Amen. Diamond, folks, is a ministry. Eating is a ministry. Now, I know there's a lot of people that will tell you that if you get to eat too much in church, that's getting too early. Y'all eat too much. Y'all have too many little fellowship, little dinner on the ground and stuff like that. It's a ministry. It's a ministry. Jesus used food to reach people when nothing else would reach them. He got to know them. Of course, he already knew them, but they got to know him. The best thing about it, amen? Now, nobody's going to argue that preaching, that's a good ministry. And teaching is a good ministry. And delivering people from the devil is a good ministry. And music is a good ministry. But if you start eating too much dough, if your church have too many of those dinners on the ground, they're going to start talking about you. Well, that's an old worldly church. All they do is eat together. Do you know the early church? That's every time they come together. Amen. The Bible said they ate the bread with singleness and gladness of heart. They went from house to house preaching the word of God, and there was always something good to eat when they got with one another.
Amen.
There's people you say, but they only come to church when you have special food. Yeah, they may only come when you have special food. Guess what? That's why you have special food. Not to judge them. It's a good way. If you want to catch fish, amen. If you want to be a fisherman of men, you better learn how to cook fish.
Amen.
All right. So, amen. So, a lot of people followed Jesus after that he fed the multitudes. The Bible says when they fed the multitudes in the wilderness, you know, Jesus said that you didn't follow me for the miracles. You followed me because I fed you and you were full. There's a lot of people following Jesus just because, amen, he feeds you. Why not to get with folks and eat with them? I like to feed people. Amen, when you get with folks and you eat with them, you can't get mad at somebody you've been breaking bread with. It's hard to get mad at. Yeah, don't, like, I can't let Sister Jeanette get mad at me, you know, because if I do, I may not get no more of her banana pudding. I'm careful. I'm careful out there. Praise the Lord. Amen. And a lot of folks are hungry. You know, when people are hungry, that's you feed them, don't you? Everybody is hungry. Everybody's not going to say, I'm a sinner. But everybody gets hungry.
Amen.
Amen. From time to time. Some of you start to get hungry right now. I even had to stop off at McDonald's on the way over here. Danny and them wanted a, I think they wanted a Happy Meal. Or I was joking about that. It, whatever meal it was, it made you happy, right? Amen. Now let me tell you something. Let me first, people that would resort to showing up where Jesus is just to get full, just to relieve their hunger, that means they resorted to doing this. Now let me tell you what resort means. Now a resort might be a place that a person likes to take their vacation at, right? It might be a place that you go to have fun and a good time, right? But if you have to resort to eating people, then you're like, I ain't going to that extent. Do you know, after feeding the multitudes and they were following him, every word Jesus said, now, you ate that bread. Now I want to give you some bread that comes down from heaven. And it goes on to say, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part of me. On, a lot of them left him. They weren't going to resort to cannibalism just to be with Jesus. See. But after they left him, he looked over at his disciples. Guess what? They were still there. There's some saints of God you couldn't run them off for nothing. That's like running a hog away from the trough. Man, you can beat them with a stick and they still hang around. I like to eat. Amen. Now let's see here. This is really puts the center on. Now this is right before he called Matthew. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him. What did he say? They resorted unto him. That's a verb. And a verb means, the verb resort means to turn to and adopt a strategy or course of action, especially something that is disagreeable or undesirable, so as to resolve a difficult situation. When you resort to tactics, amen, when you normally, I don't want to go to church, but a lot of people will get to the point, amen, that church is a last resort. They get down and out, and as a last resort, they go to church. And Jesus meets their need. Think about it. Think about it. Aren't you glad that you didn't have, Jesus wasn't your last resort. He was your first resort.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Jesus is about to take his ministry on a new level. He's got plenty of people following him. He's got all kinds of people here, but what kind of people are following him? The halt, the blind, the lame, lepers, demonic possessed. They ain't got nothing but a bunch of folks like David, amen, in the cave of Adullam. All he had was a disc. He had that basket of undesirables. Oh yeah, if you got a need and you feel the need, you can fill your church up with all kinds of undesirables. Just because you love Jesus. You show the love for this world out there, and they'll beat the door down trying to get in this church. That's the thing I desire most about God. Help me to show your love and meet the needs of those that are seeking something from you. I feel so bad when I see people that are addicted to morphine and things like that. And I say, what's the solution here? In the world, the best thing they can do is get them another drug to take that'll be just as addicting as the one they're on. And they end up not only taking the one that they had, but they'll take the new one too and get addicted to both of them. I'm saying, Lord, what does it take to deliver people? Do you know, we get a Holy Ghost meeting in here, I guarantee you, that if Jesus is in the house and we can learn to praise God, God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that people will be healed. Amen. In the early church, the lame walked, the devils got out of them. Amen. Amen. Even the dead were raised to life. And Jesus says, don't get happy just because the devils are subject to you, but because your name's written in the Lamb's. Yeah, we're happy. I'm happy. Now, let's look at the next verse. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now we read that, we say, boy, Levi didn't need any prompting. He just come there and Jesus. I happen to believe that old Levi, if he was a publican and a sinner, that's exactly what he was. And there ain't no sinner that I've ever run across that'll just get up and go look for Jesus. But some people, out of curiosity, will come to see what's going on. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, The Bible said there were, amen, there were some that was mocking and all that, and they come and said, what's going on here? The Bible says tongues is for the unbeliever. It ain't for the one speaking in tongues, it's for the folks that gets curious about what's going on over here. We brought a fella in here one time. The Holy Ghost was moving, but nobody felt it. We were watching a movie. Just a regular movie. And he was sitting about right there where Brother Gary is. And during the movie, he goes, "Wow, something touched me." He jumped up and out of his chair. God was dealing with that man. The rest of us just watching the movie, eating popcorn. Let me tell you something. He come for the movie, but he found Jesus. You may come, amen, for the food, but you might find Jesus. You may come for the music, but you might find Jesus. That's what we, food brings them in. How many we have here for our homecoming? We had almost about 90 something, didn't we? 89 or something like that, 91. Well, and as he passed by, he saw Levi. Levi jumped up, but what did Levi jump up for? He was like his boss. You might have heard of his boss, the chief publican. His name was Zacchaeus. Have you heard of Zacchaeus? Now, Matthew got a hold of this first. But they were kind of like each other. And it gets you to the point where why Jesus does it. He has no problem bringing in those that are desperate and in need of Jesus. Where he has the problem is when he's trying to reach those that think everything is all right, that they're going to heaven, they're going to a better place when they die, and they don't even work out their own salvation, they don't even read their Bible, they don't do that, they run around walking with the devil and telling everybody they're holding God's hands. It's those. He says, I got to do something different. Zacchaeus and Levi, Matthew. I believe they followed Jesus. The Bible says Zacchaeus, when he heard that Jesus was coming that way, the Bible said he went out to see Jesus. That'd be like seeing the Beatles or something, you know. Somebody that's very popular. Somebody, amen, that is, amen, well known. Amen, everybody knew about Jesus by now. And even the, Zacchaeus, I like to say he was a big little fella. He was a big shot. He had a big house. He had a lot of money. He was wealthy. Amen. But he was very small. And he had to climb a sycamore tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus. But when Jesus come by, Jesus saw him. He says, there's a man I need to reach. There's a man that don't think he has need of the master. There's a man that thinks that his money is going to be everything he needs. He's like the, amen, the rich man, amen, and Lazarus. Amen, the rich man, the Bible said, he thought he was a good man because Lazarus lay dead every day at his gate and he was looking for food. And, you know, he fed him the scraps of his table. Oh, he was a good man, he thought. But he didn't realize when he died, he was the man that was trying to get by on the scraps of self-righteousness. You see, if you think you're righteous, it's like scraps. It's like wearing dirty rags. Amen. He was dressed scrumptiously. Amen. He had the best clothes on in this world. But I want you to know that in God's eyes, his righteousness was as filthy rags. Amen. And he ended up having the tables turned when Lazarus died. And he died. He went to hell and lifted up his eyes. And he saw that he had a need for God. fact, he needed a drink of water, and he prayed that Lazarus would give him a drink, just a drop of water. Folks, Jesus wants you to know there's none righteous. No, not one. We all need Jesus. It's the sinner. It's the destitute. It's the one that's had the worst life that possibly you could imagine. And I know some of you have lived through hell. You went through all kinds of trouble. But I want you to know that Jesus will meet the need that you have.
Amen.
But if you're sitting back thinking, well, I've been getting on pretty good. I'm healthy. I got plenty to eat. I got a nice home. I got my barns. I just brought in more. I'm going to have to tear them barns down and build some bigger barns. The Bible says, you know, that riches can be deceitful. When he talked about sowing the word of God, he says, amen, that was the ones that fell among thorns. The thorns was the deceitfulness of riches and that care for the things of the world and the lust for things out there in the world that deceived people into believing that they were all right. Levi may have followed Jesus in the beginning out of curiosity, just like his boss would later do. But you know what? Somewhere along the line, I believe Jesus got a hold of both of them fellas. Because he told Zacchaeus, he says, today, salvation has come to your house. Because Jesus said, I want to go home and eat with you today. And Zacchaeus took him home. And the neighbor said, what are you eating with those sinners? He said, listen, if I've done anything wrong, I'll restore it. He was willing to repent. And Jesus said, brother, when you realize that you have a need for God, salvation is at the door. It's come to your house today. You've been looking at him. Your eyes are opened, not just to who Jesus is, but your eyes are open to your need for God. Church, I cannot tell you how important it is that you understand that you need God. And I think the worst of all, the worst condition of anybody could be in is to have everything going fine for them. That's what we pray for. That's what we ask for. And we don't seek God until the last resort. But I tell you what, it's good to get to know Jesus Christ, even if you don't think you need him. That's what Levi did. He got to know him. That's what Zacchaeus did. He got to know him. And that's what many of us, we've come to church. We like church. We like the people we're with. And we know we have a need for salvation. But amen. I don't know about you, but I'm here for the food. I showed up for the food. See, some people have to be sought out. They have to be sought out. And Levi recognized this immediately when he called him. That's the previous verse, says he followed him immediately. He went up and he says, come follow me. He got up and left. He said, he's wonderful. He left all that money behind. He left taxes behind. I don't think he left all that behind. I think he was planning on coming back to it. But Jesus kind of grew on him. Here's what it says. And it came to pass. Now, this is in the time of, in a manner of time after he started following him. It came to pass. Oh, let's pray, church, that if you ain't got the Holy Ghost, if you don't know Jesus in the fullness, if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, amen, if you haven't got in the church, glorious, amen, at least hang around for the food until God gets a hold of you, amen, don't leave too early, amen, just hang around, something good about to happen, I know it's about to happen here. scripture right there. Then John 3:16. No, it come to pass. That's the one I'm looking for. God tells you a promise. The thing you want it to do has come to pass. The promise of the Holy Ghost is to you and to your children and as many as the Lord our God will call. It says it come to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, Jesus was eating with Matthew on that one day. Many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus. Folks, one thing about Peter, he was a good man, but his house was too small. But in getting Levi, he got a big house. The house got bigger so Jesus could minister more. Amen. We may have a small church, but God wants to fill it up, and he wants to get it to where it's overflowing, where they're outside knocking, they've got to tie the roof off the place to get in. That's the way he wants his people to be. Why ain't we full? Because we got a world full of people that think there's nothing wrong with them.
Amen.
What makes you so special, Brother Tom? I like to eat. Don't try me. I know my food. All right? They say you are what you eat. I've been eating a lot of food here lately and a lot of word. Now, I like what it says here. There was many. He didn't just get Matthew and Zacchaeus. It says there were many sinners and publicans. You got one publican, you get them all. Amen. You get them Democrats too. They also sat with Jesus. And if Jesus got a hold of Levi, he made him a disciple. He wrote the first gospel of Matthew. And here's what I like. All them people that was with Jesus, all them sinners and publicans, for there were many, and they followed him. Amen. Why does Jesus want to eat with you? Here's what Jesus said. What does Jesus eat with? Why does he eat with publicans? He says, but when Jesus heard that, he heard him talking about him. He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick.